Hi and welcome to The Practice Gap, the podcast for closing the gap between the practice you have and the one that you want. I'm Elizabeth, a chiropractor, a business owner, coach and entrepreneur on a mission to help you move from frustration and overwhelm to clarity, focus and joy in practice. Hi and welcome back to the studio, Christopher Nordrum Hansen.
Thank you for having me again.
We are going to keep focusing more, a little bit more about the process of opening your own practice. And let's start with a theme that could be difficult. And that is fine if you are working, owning a clinic with someone, or buying yourself into a clinic, or practicing with someone, how you should have the financial agreement. Because yes. I know there's many different ways of doing that. So let's start by talking a little bit about your model and why you chose to do it that way.
Yes. So this is something that we discussed all the way in the beginning of the process in the basement of Pepe's Pizza in Almaty.
Mm-hmm.
We both agreed.
A place for creativity.
Yes, it should be almost a commercial.
Yeah.
No, we decided there that we wanted to split all the incomes in 50%, so 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Because we thought that was fair to both of us. We knew that we would put in about the same or just the same effort into building up the clinic and practice. Also, it was fair because we didn't want a situation where we started to pull on each other's end of a new patient coming into the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
So we both thought that, well, if one would come in, we both would earn and have a good advantage.
So it really doesn't, like, if a person comes in, it doesn't matter who it goes to, because
no.
You split everything 50-50.
Yes, as long as the patient doesn't really want to come in.
Yeah.
But thinking about the financial, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Before you did that, did you have a decision on, like, these are the times we're working. Okay, we are both going to work 8 hours or 7 hours in the clinic each day. Or did you have the talk about how much effort you would actually put in?
Yes, so we did talk about our opening times and what would be we both considered to be enough. And we agreed that it shouldn't be a big difference, but sometimes life happens, and you have to change maybe some of the work schedule. But working now for almost two and a half years, I would say we have put in almost about exactly the same hours.
Mm.
So I don't feel it's any difference between us.
Yeah, so you put in about the same number of hours. Is there a big difference between the amount of patients? Does one person see more patients than the other, or is it about equal?
It's a little bit different, or a little bit difference between us,
mm-hmm.
but it's not noticeable, almost.
Yeah, and there's tons of different things you need to get done in a clinic, so it's not like when you don't have patients, there's nothing to do. So
no, exactly, and I have to say also, when expanding the clinic, because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We did most of it ourselves, and Marius's father-in-law,
mm-hmm.
is a carpenter, so
yeah.
He came also to
so
help
use
us.
Use your network again.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
So he stayed actually. He slept on the sofa of Marius and Christelle 3 or 4 weeks to help out.
Yeah.
So thank you, Thomas. But in that period as well, I maybe I saw a little bit more patience that Marius did. But Marius put great effort into building and being a second carpenter. helping out, an assistant to Thomas.
So then you really need to have a mindset that you are, the intention is to put in the same amount of work, and you have to be super clear that sometimes I can do a lot and sometimes I can do less, and you have to be okay with that.
Yes.
Yeah. There are, for the younger chiropractors out there who are either going to buy themselves into a clinic or open a clinic with a friend or a colleague, there are many ways to practice. Some people I know, they have company together, like they have kind of a holding company,
mm-hmm.
and that company pays for all the expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see my patients and you see your patients. I build my own clinic and you kind of build your own practice, and you pay in just a certain amount into the kind of company that runs all the expenses for the clinic. So that's one way. That's pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that some people have kind of like done what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also where you do that and have a deal, like a percentage deal, that like if you see a lot of you pay a percentage of your salary into the company.
Yeah.
Do you have any, if you would give advice to the younger practitioner who wants to open a clinic, how can they find out what the best way to practice is for them? The financial agreements that they have to go through together.
So I think you have to be very clear on what's important to for you,
mm-hmm. your, for so your yourself, values.
Yeah, your values, yeah. Which should also be very similar to your companion.
Yeah.
And then I think just be clear, because the economy is the root of all problems.
It's economy is super, and it's super, super important.
Yes.
And I don't think we're always so good at talking about it, because it's both could be shameful. There are feelings to it, and we are scared of being greedy.
Yes.
There are all these feelings connected to economy, and
yes.
Also being educated as a healthcare professionals. We're probably even worse talking about money than other people.
Yes. And I think also you have to, like, working with another, you also have to accept that something is more important to for him.
Mm-hmm.
So if Marius would like to have used money from the clinic to buy a flower in his office, I don't mind. I don't need the same flower.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be 100% equal.
Yeah.
I'm not going to charge the company 50 kroner to get the same amount back. As long as you can talk to him. I told once Marius that maybe don't buy so much flowers.
Don't buy so many cups of coffee for lunch. Don't buy that expensive coffee for lunch.
But then we it's only for a laugh. We can just laugh of it.
Yeah.
So we are on the same page.
Yeah. So actually, it kind of sounds like an advanced form for marriage.
Yeah.
You have to be super open and clear and wish the other person well, and really talk about thing and be
generous.
Generous. Thank you.
So yeah. I definitely would say it's my second home.
Yeah.
It's my second marriage.
Yeah. Good. And going from then a marriage to relationships. Well, we talked a little bit earlier about you having gone out in the community to build some relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk? I know that you have some passions in chiropractic.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk about your big passion in chiropractic as it is right now?
Yes. So my passion is really, I think we have something great tool that should be more used by the population. I think other healthcare professionals should use us more within the musculoskeletal problems on how we should increase the awareness in the community. I'm not sure, but for me it has been to kind of reach out to the doctors, to the training centers, physiotherapists. I've been trying to put a lot of effort into my journals. We do send
records. Yeah.
Records. So we do send quite detailed journal or notes from the first visit, and also a short summary after the patient has come and seen me maybe 4 to 6 times. I send the doctor a short summary of how he or how the patient has responded to treatment, and also what I do recommend for further investigations, or if I would refer them further on to a physiotherapist.
So the community, and that goes back from one of the episodes with Hege, and she, where she talks also about collaborating with other healthcare professionals and how beneficial that is for everyone. And also it's a great way to spread the word that we can help people.
Yes.
Because it's like sometimes I feel that chiropractic is a big secret that's kept. That needs to be shared more.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, I think in this, in our clinic, I think I also sent good referrals to many other healthcare professionals than I did before.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's because I've matured a little bit also, knowing kind of what my boundaries are.
Yeah, being humble again.
Being
it's
humble.
Like, yeah, well, that's that good, yeah.
But I also think it's important to send good notes to the surgeons or the physiotherapist.
Yeah.
Well, everyone deserves a good good note.
Yeah, and then how you can, that you are collaborating with other people on to get the patient the help they needed so they get better.
Yes.
For the whole, it sounds like your one of your passions then is to spread the word a little bit about, or increase the awareness of chiropractic and what we can do.
Yes.
And it's sometimes you feel kind of small being a chiropractor in this world, and lose your way and how you can, I mean, you can help your patients out there and to increase the awareness. What are some thoughts for, or some advice to the younger generation that comes out, how they can help increase the awareness in this in this world about what chiropractic can do?
Well, I think to have some confidence, walking in meetings with other healthcare professionals with confidence is important, because you do have a great education and you know very much about almost or quite a bit of the body function, the musculoskeletal, and also neurology. I have had some good discussions with a neurologist at the hospital, and I think he was surprised everything I knew. So be confident that you should know, or you do know quite a bit. At the same time, be humble again.
Yes.
But don't be afraid of talking to other healthcare professionals. They're not going to bite you.
yeah. And also that self-confidence, it's we know a lot about the small, like what we know about, and then other people know their stuff. And I think sometimes you think that when another healthcare professional, they comes into your office, it's like you sometimes assume that they know everything about the back. Or I do it all the time in my clinic. I just had a new patient who was a medical doctor, and she had pelvic pain in the pregnancy. And she's totally open. It was like, I work as a medical doctor, but I work in research and with lung function. I know nothing about the musculoskeletal system. And they just treat me like I know nothing. And then just it kind of makes it easier for me. And because I don't know what she does with the lung research. It's like, I never read that. And to find that you have your own place in it and not be scared that you know stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I experienced the same thing, and say to just treat other healthcare professionals the same way as you do with everyone else.
Yeah.
Because that's why they came to you.
Yeah, and that's what when I go to a colleague with my problems, I also always say, like, just tell me exactly what to do, what kind of exercises, when should I come back?
Yes.
Am I ever going getting better? Will this pass? And it's just, I also just want to be treated as a normal patient. I want a prognosis. I want somebody to take care of me.
Yeah.
Other advices that we can do to help increase the awareness of what we can do. Oh, I'm putting you on a spot, you poor thing. I mean, I've been asking so many advice. We've gotten so many advice. I'm super, super happy about that. What are the biggest success factors you see in the people you went to school with and who's been working for, you know, like now 7, 8, 9 years? Do you see a difference in those who really make it and are happy and those who are struggling?
That's also a difficult question.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But I think I can see most of my friends are quite successful.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some that I did go to school with that has either decided to become a medical doctor and
mm-hmm.
continue with their studies because they didn't find a chiropractic. Didn't really find the use of chiropractic with their patients, and
yeah.
I don't know why or how. But others, someone.
So they kind of just felt they couldn't help their patients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they just met some resistance and then didn't enjoy it as much as I did.
Yeah.
There also has been some others that has started working with something completely different, not health related at all.
So they just left the profession?
Yes.
Hmm.
And then I have most of my friends have quite thriving and successful practices around and made it everywhere, all the way from in Oslo to Kristiansand, Sandefjord,
yeah.
Elverum.
So it doesn't matter where you are, it's
no.
all about what you do and who you are.
Yes.
So you can really open anywhere.
Yes.
Yeah. When I came back from practice, it was like, oh, there's one chiropractor in Drammen, or there's one chiropractor in Kristiansand. So then it's like, find another town. So it was like one person. You can go to Narvik, there's no one there. So it's like, yeah.
And that has changed because now it's actually one in Narvik as well.
Oh, yeah. So now it's like. And it's also that more creates more when more people get treatments more and are happy with their chiropractor.
Yes.
Then more people use chiropractic.
Yes.
And that's good for everyone.
Get the patients to talk about you, and it's the best commercial,
yeah.
To get the word around.
Yeah.
And still, the best way, I think, at least for us.
What made you decide to go into chiropractic?
I think it's the thing with working with people. I can't imagine myself just sitting next to a computer and a desk.
Mm-hmm.
So I need that personal feedback.
Yeah.
Also, I think the chiropractic profession was interesting to me because I did experience when I was younger. To get treated by a chiropractor, and so I saw my grandfather used the same chiropractor, also actually situated not too far away from where my clinic is now.
So you had some personal experience that you saw your family being treated and you being treated.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I had some interest in the human body, but knowing that not everything has to be a typical A4.
Yeah, just a regular, how do you say that in English? Mainstream.
Mainstream.
Maybe.
I was curious about the chiropractic profession. I had a friend who started at the college a couple of years ahead of me, and she told me all about how much interesting that she thinks that she learned. So it opened up the opportunity for me as well to look into it, and I decided that this is what I really, really, really wanted to become.
Mm. How did you choose on going to AECC? Or like, how did you choose England?
I think I know. It was because it was close to home.
Yep.
And also then my family chiropractor, he had some kind of hand in, I think, running it or starting the college. So he talked very well and warmth about the ACC and how great it was.
Yeah.
And I think it was.
Yeah, that's good.
And then, of course, my friend who started there as well talked about the beautiful beaches in Bournemouth.
Beautiful women, beautiful beaches. Yes.
She
good
forgot,
food.
She forgot to mention it was in Boscombe.
Yeah.
But she talked, both her and the chiropractor talked about how well reputation the college had in the previous years.
Yeah.
So that was a huge decision, part of the decision of how I ended up in Bournemouth.
Yeah. So we affect each other when we talk about the place we went to school. So then we can affect, we never know who we will affect today and tomorrow and what that will bring in the future. Good. I am so happy that you have been here and shared your experiences. It's really valuable. And also that in between, when you've been working for some years and it's really good to see how the passion in your eyes when I sit down here and talk to you, you can't really see that, but how passionate you are about chiropractic. And I'm certain that a lot of younger chiropractors now will feel more confident that they can go out and open their own clinics. And also, to sum up a little bit, there are many different ways to open a practice together and find the different ways, talk to different people what they did and how that worked, and find a way to practice that fits your values. Again, talk about possible pitfalls and things that can go wrong. Look at it as a beautiful marriage that you need to nurture and be patient with each other and wish each other well, and then you have all the possibilities in the world to make a great practice.
Yes.
And then do them, every small chiropractor or big or large, the small things you do every day, like talking to other healthcare professional about the patient and helping the patient get better, communicate and be humble and be interested, that thing increases the awareness of chiropractic.
Yes.
Makes probably our future bright and wonderful.
Yes.
Does that sum up?
Yes, it's a good sum. Summary.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you so much, Christopher.
Thank you again for having me.
I'm so happy that you've been here.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.